Does everybody understand that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, let's think about what that means. And the reason why I thought about this teaching is because Jeff and I had a conversation before the board meeting about what our vision is, and what does the old concept of word over the world mean to us today, if there is any kind of vision like that for us? And is that something our ministry is claiming as a byline? And so this, as I thought about it, this teaching is kind of address that question. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 16. This is where we're told about the ministry of reconciliation. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We're not going to have a relationship like the apostles did, like the disciples did in the Gospels with Jesus Christ today. When it says no more, that doesn't mean forever, because we will have a chance to be with Christ and talk to him again, but as to the end of this administration. So, but we don't know Jesus Christ like that. We don't sit down and have a conversation with him. We don't take meals with him. Okay, he doesn't write us a note and say, hey, I'll meet you for lunch Tuesday at 6 o'clock, well, whatever. But that's just not the kind of relationship that we have now. If that is true, what kind of relationship do we have with him? Well, first of all, I can say it's a better relationship. And it's hard to imagine having a better relationship than having a sit-down with Jesus Christ. But let's look at each other. We spent some time together in the past, right? How well do you know the person across the table from you? Do you know what they think each day? Do you know what they're thinking about? Or what their opinion about things are? Not unless they've told you.
Right?
No matter how well you know anybody in the flesh, you cannot know them as well as the possibility of knowing Christ in you, of having the mind, the thoughts of Jesus Christ. That is so much more intimate and so much bigger than knowing someone after the flesh. To have Christ in you and to have the mind of Christ, which means have the thoughts of Jesus Christ, is head and shoulders above any other kind of relationship. So it's actually better what we have today than what they experienced. And the next verse actually says this. Therefore, if any man be what?
In Christ.
He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that includes our thoughts. If we design our thought pattern toward that. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by means of Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who gave it to us? God gave it to us. The ministry of reconciliation. So as God used Jesus Christ to reconcile people back to him, we have the ministry of reconciliation, just as Jesus Christ did. It's just different. Now, he told them about believe on me. We are telling people believe on him. You see? But he's still the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except through Jesus Christ. But we can tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's called forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So what? How do we reconcile people? With the Word. With the Word of reconciliation. So that is extremely big. So we, and every, each and every one of us, have been given this calling. You can call, you can say this calling. And it's designed for everybody. It isn't an individual calling, although it is individually applied. Since we have this ministry, does it have a logo? You know, is there a logo that we know that we are a part of the Ministry of Reconciliation? No. No. Does it have an address where you can send in a letter? No. Is it incorporated? No. So any of that stuff is all man-made. It has nothing to do with the real Ministry of Reconciliation. And we should never, ever forget that. Those things come and go as men come and go. And God can inspire on a person to do something special, to go down a special path. And the other people catch that vision and they identify themselves with that vision through various means. I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic, or whatever it may be. But they kind of identify themselves with that path. But it is a mistake to start separating ourselves in our overall understanding and thinking that God is, it's impossible for God to work with those people that are on different paths than you are. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. As far back as Paul, people were already making distinctions of how they identified themselves. They already lost that kind of understanding that we're all part of the same body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, he's invoking a pretty big name there, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
"That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment." Well, how do we obtain that kind of like-mindedness? Well, we study the Word together. We figure out what it says together. But it takes a working of the Word to be able to do that. It can't be just one person making a blanket statement based upon his experiences what he thinks the Word means. He or she. You know, this is what God has shown me, and God told me this and all these other things. That is not how God set it up. He set the family up to be able to work these things out together. Otherwise, you cannot be like-minded unless you just subordinate yourself to another person's doctrine without ever thinking it through, without ever considering it, without ever bringing anything back to the Word. So it is this like-mindedness that we have through a working of the Word together. Verse 11, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe," kind of ratted them out, didn't you there? "And that there are contentions among you." Now, I'm sure everybody went, "Those dirty rats." "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am Cephas," that's Peter, "and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Okay, let's boil this thing down. Who is all this about? It's about Christ. That's who we're all talking about. So don't mistake this flag flying for the actual body of Christ. It has no relationship. And every one of these people were great people. Every one of them that he just mentioned. He didn't put anybody in there like, you know, the people who were breaking up the church with false doctrine. That's what it was. They didn't get named in this list. It was the ones that God had called as ministers and were doing a great work. But the people were starting to identify themselves that way. And that was a wrong approach. The idea that Christ is the head of the church is still foreign to most everyone today. How that works on a practical basis in everyday life confuses folks. So they turn to how the world does things and sets the church up to copy the world. Okay? What normally historically happens is the members start to serve the leaders that have been appointed over them. Because as the church or the denomination gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the people who are in that area actually know the minister less and less because they start being appointed to be over him. So it's just, it's not how God set the word up. Jesus warns the apostles of this pitfall that they would have to face in Mark chapter 9, verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace. Can't you just picture that? Like, what were you guys arguing about? And nobody wants to say.
No.
For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. So they weren't going to say what it was about. Because they knew just by saying it out loud how stupid it sounds. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Well, that is somebody that is worthy of being followed, who's worthy of being taken for setting the pattern, setting the pace of how the ministry is moving forward, if they are that kind of servant. But the person who wants to be in a position of authority over others, who politics to get into that position, is always a bad sign. It's always a bad sign. And he, verse 36, and he took a child, and I love this, that he used this example to prove his point. He takes a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." Who sent him?
God.
That's right. And John answered him, saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed us not. And we forbade him because he followeth not us." But Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do miracles in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part." The disciples didn't like anybody doing anything in the name of Christ that wasn't a part of their experience. How could they possibly be doing that if they weren't following around being disciples of Jesus? And Jesus says, "Let them alone. Let them alone. Don't tell them not to. Don't even tell them anything negative. Because if they're not against us, they're for us." And certainly that is a lesson to be learned, because the thing that we sometimes get all shook up about is that you don't know everything that I know, or if you haven't experienced everything I have, God cannot be working with you. But the truth is, God sees the heart of every Christian, every man, woman, and child, but especially the Christians he knows intimately, because Christ is in them. And how he works to bring them down their path is none of our business to figure out for them. It's great when we find somebody that we are like-minded with and can walk along the same path with. what joy there is in that kind of fellowship. But if our hearts are turned against people who are not walking beside us, simply because they are not beside us, then we need to adjust our thinking. Because what we don't believe is that God is going to make it all right in the end. That somehow we have to correct these things. It's God that works in people to will and do of his good pleasure, not us telling people what they have to do or what they can do. Luke chapter 22, verse 23. Believe me, this takes a whole lot of pressure out of us. Off of us.
Luke 23.
22, verse 23.
Thank you.
And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. See, the church, because they were not walking by the Spirit, and they had not adhered themselves to the principles of the Word, what did they do? They modeled the church after the Gentile structure. And that is not how the first century operated at all. There were gift ministries who were responsible for bringing the blessings of God to the body of Christ. They were gifts to the church. And then there were elders and deacons and bishops and all that stuff who had to coordinate the activities, but they had no lordship over anybody that did not want to be a part of what they were doing. They couldn't make anybody do anything. It is only the self-volunteer of my life to be a part of a body that it ever has any strength. So, we are not to look to build a denomination, but a church whose foundation is Christ. That is our goal. A church, when I mean a church, an ecclesia, a body, whose foundation is Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. I think it just shut, honey. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So, the foundation is Jesus Christ, but who did the work to lay the foundation? He's saying, I did. I went out and taught the word. That was the foundation, that of Jesus Christ. But a foundation does not get built unless somebody does it. Jesus Christ isn't there building the foundation. He is the foundation. We become the builders. For an other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, talking about Jesus Christ being the foundation that he laid, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It isn't always clear what kind of foundation is being built. But there's coming a time when that clarity will be realized. Whether it was done for any other motivation and have any other foundation other than Jesus Christ. And it just gets burned up. It has no value. It has no rewards. It's just like it never happened. What a waste of a person's life. But if you build upon the foundation, Jesus Christ, then everything that rises off of that is blessed and brings greatness to glorify God. If any man's work abide, which he hath built there upon, he shall receive a what? Reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So it's kind of like a cleansing. So it's like a man works all his life to gain riches, and then upon his death, what happens? Doesn't take anything with him, does he?
No.
Matter of fact, usually the kids and the family start squabbling over it. Oh, great. My life meant something. I had a bunch of toys. It means nothing. This ministry that we have been given needs to be led by Jesus Christ. It needs to be led by Jesus Christ. He is the head. The Word of God, and specifically the good news of Jesus Christ, is our instruction about what that is. We receive specifics about the work that needs to be done by revelation and inspired words and actions so that we can care for His church and have Christ in us. So we have that direction to move in. It is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit within us that leads the church. Because that direction is coming from Christ. Matthew 28, verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Even the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach, what?
All nations,
baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, that was the 12, right? Did the 12 stay together after the day of Pentecost? So they didn't go around as a big group, did they? Although they were a group studying with Jesus Christ, as soon as that commission was given and they received the Holy Spirit, they went the direction that God led them to go. And the other apostles weren't at the least bit concerned that they're not with us anymore. They were praying for each other. They knew and trusted that the other ones were going to do the will of God. So it isn't that that commission is given for us to do it all by ourselves. That's obvious. What one person could do this? Teach all nations. Any one person could do that? No. Especially then. But what we need to do is what God shows us to do. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. All we need to do is what God shows us to do. Some people say, what door is open? What things are revealed to us? For Paul, it was the guy from Macedonia, you know, that one night. That's an example. He's heading in one direction. All of a sudden, God says, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Go see the guy in Macedonia. So each and every one of us are going to have that. And when we're really, really blessed, we get to do it with others. Because there's wonderful blessings in that fellowship. So they didn't stay together. They didn't go everywhere together. They moved to where God led them, these 12. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. The only word of God that Paul had was the Old Testament. That's it. Everything he knew about Jesus Christ as far as what God had planned was revealed to him in the Old Testament. And then what God showed him by revelation. See, that's how we have to do it still.
He knew the word pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
He knew the Old Testament pretty well.
He knew it a lot better than Peter did.
Yeah.
Okay, as far as formal education and just understanding what the scriptures had was written. Mm-hmm. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That resurrection of the dead part is what makes it special. Okay? That's what really made it to where God declared his power. Verse 5. For whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among what?
All nations
for his name. So Paul was an apostle for all nations, is what he's saying, right? Those other ones are just explaining what that means, obedience to the faith. But his apostleship was to all nations. Did he go to all nations? No. No. As a matter of fact, it was more limited than that, in that God called him to minister to the Gentiles. The times that Paul got in the soup, that God had to bail him out so many times, was when he tried to go to the Jews. Historically, that's the way it went. The Gentiles were much more receptive because God had blessed that ministry to the Gentiles. And Peter to the Jews. Exactly true. Among whom are ye also called in Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The way that God sends us is his choice. And of course, we have to choose to obey that. And we cannot wonder about why everyone else is not going the way we're going. The why and the how is up to God. That he will make all come together in the end is already established. We already know what that is. We just don't believe it sometimes. God set each member in the body as it has pleased him. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?
No.
And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? That's kind of just a funny mind picture, isn't it? All one great big nose. Hard for a nose to travel around where it needs to go. And now are they many members, yet one body. We cannot, from our perspective, see the whole body worldwide. We just don't know enough. We don't know enough people. We don't know enough believers to be able to see and comprehend this. Now, when we were with the other ministry, when we were able to see so many people from so many different parts of the world that would come in for the big events, and we were able to talk with them and share with them. And that was even a bigger picture. But even then, you still only had what they were doing, not what other believers were doing worldwide. But it's the same body. But God says to us, I got this. Okay? Don't worry. I got it. You don't have to worry about it. Don't have to do anything. See, our calling is to love each other and to do what God says for us. To obey and to love each other. Those are the two basic jobs we got.
In the ministry of reconciliation.
In the ministry of reconciliation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John 3, 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And what? Love one another as he gave us commandment. What did Jesus Christ command us to do? To love each other as he has loved us. That's the commandment that he gave. The other two commandments are commandments that God gave. His commandment that Jesus Christ gave was to love each other as I have loved you. That's a much higher standard than loving your brother as yourself. Because it just is when Jesus Christ is the example. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Can you see, smell, taste, touch, Spirit? No, you don't. I mean, a person can have it and not even know it. So how would we know it by the Spirit?
By the fruit.
Well, by the manifestations of the Spirit. When the Spirit is now in manifestation in our life, then we can know it. That's how we know it. So we have to actually manifest the Spirit. Got to do that in all nine manifestations. We are commanded to be like-minded and more and moved. No, I wrote this weird. We are commanded to be like-minded and more. We are the more God has given us to do. That does sound weird, but that's how I wrote. Our like-mindedness is not agreeing with any one leader or group of leaders, but it is in our mutual understanding of the truth of God's word and walking in love toward each other. That's where our like-mindedness comes from. So, some of us once had a vision of Word Over the World. I got to tell you, I have again regained that same vision. But I also understand that I'm not going to be the one to take it over the world. I'm just part of it. You're part of it. Every time you speak the word to each other, to other people, every time we touch somebody with God's love, we are part of taking the word over the world. I have gained this vision and pray every day for that, just as Jesus commanded us. My part, as I understand it, is to respond with believing action to any open door that God gives us or gives me, wherever that may lead. So when we are working with other countries, for example, and they extend an invitation, we have to ask God, is this a good one to go to? And if he says, okay,
then go.
Go. Go see what he's got for you. Go do it. Go find out what God has got for us, because we'll never know by being passive. As we see, no one man or ministry will or can do it all. We see as the great apostle Paul was told to stay ministering to the Gentiles and Peter to the Jews. Even at that early stage, God split them up. Let us respond with faith the opportunities God gives us. So that to me is our calling, to respond with faith to every open door that God gives us. And that will lead to word over the world, which I still have as a vision. So, God bless.